verses 1 to 20 we're reading tonight. Tonight is a warm night, so feel free to have your windows down, your doors open. If you want to sit in the bank, more than welcome to do that, because I know just the heat might get to you, because I'm feeling boiling just in this kind of this fan up here, so yeah. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, God's word says this. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." And when Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those on the outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in, choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. This is God's word to us this evening. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight just for this beautiful sunshine that is shining down upon us. We thank you that it reminds us that you are good to all, both to the just and to the unjust, that you have showered us with so many blessings. But we pray now that you will bless us more as we come around your word, that you will give us, as Jesus says here, ears to understand the truth. We pray, Lord, that this word tonight will come to our hearts, it will change us, and it will transform us. For those, Lord, who have come along tonight who are still outside the kingdom, we ask, Lord, that you will bring them in, that you will save them, Lord. We know that even now in our cars, there is a temptation, Lord, just to be distracted. There's a temptation to allow either the worries of the week that are coming or just the novelty of being in the car to distract from the word. But we pray, Lord, that that will not be the case. Rather, Lord, move the mental mosquitoes away from our heads and help us, Lord, to listen to your word and to be transformed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you are visiting tonight, it's our habit here at Gortmerin to study through a book of the Bible and to hear what God's word has to say. And on Sunday evenings, over the past few months, since I joined the church as the pastor, we've been studying Mark's gospel. Tonight we come to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, which is labelled in your Bibles as the parable of the sower. Now, it's probably a false label because it's not necessarily the parable of the sower, but it's the parable of the soils. This is a familiar parable. It's a parable that many of you probably know. It's a parable that many of you could probably tell me the meaning of it. But it's a parable nonetheless that we need to hear tonight. Because the challenge of God's word tonight is this. This parable asks us the question, how do you respond to the word of God? How do you respond to the word of God? As you come here to listen to the word, as you've come many times before, or even last summer, how do you respond to the word of God? You see, there are many responses to the Word of God. Many people respond in different ways. And although there are many responses, there is only one right response that we will hear tonight. I want us to consider this passage under four headings. Firstly, tonight I want you to consider the popular preacher. The popular preacher. In your Bibles, Mark chapter 4, verse 1, begins with Jesus teaching and preaching beside the seaside. Mark 4, verse 1 says, a very large crowd gathered about him. So he has to get into a boat on the sea. He has to sail his way out a bit. And then he preaches from the boat to the masses that have gathered to hear Jesus. This is maybe one of the largest crowds that Jesus Christ has ever preached to. Here they are situated on the seaside, and he preaches to them from the boat. Verse 1 tells us that he got into the boat, he sits down, which in that ancient world was the posture of teaching, and he begins to preach the gospel to these crowds. Jesus is a popular preacher. He preached on many occasions and in many different ways. Sometimes he preached on top of the mountain or on the hillside. Other times he preached to his disciples as he walked along the road. He preached in houses. He preached in the synagogues. He preached on the seaside. And here he preaches on the sea to the masses. However, his popularity can be deceiving. When you think that a crowd is following Jesus, you think all of these people are followers of Jesus. But that is not the case. Because in Mark's gospel, we have seen that although Jesus amasses a lot of popularity, there are fake fans. There are fans of Jesus, but not necessarily followers of Jesus. These people come to Jesus and they treat him like a genie or a vending machine. They want him to give them what they desire, but they don't follow him because they love him. They don't love him with their life and their heart, and therefore, and later will show us, that they all will fall away from him. This is the popular preacher, Jesus Christ. And it's so often the case, isn't it? Even in our world today, Jesus is popular in many quarters. He's respected for his teaching. He's respected for his love and his generosity and his kindness. But he's not necessarily followed as Lord and Savior. Secondly, I want you to notice the preacher's parable. The preacher's parable. Verse 2 says that Jesus is speaking in parables. Now, a parable is an earthly story with a hidden heavenly meaning. Jesus was not the inventor of parables. Many people spoke in parables before him, but he was the master of him. He spoke many times in his life through parables to the people. This parable is familiar, isn't it? Look at verse 3. It says, "Listen, behold." Jesus begins this parable with a command to listen up, to take heed to what he is saying. In a sense, we could say, "Listen up, the King of Kings is speaking, and you need to pay attention to what he's saying." And tonight, that call and that command comes to you. Listen up in your cars. Listen up on the bankside. Listen to what Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, has to say in this parable. The parable is about sowing the seed. A farmer goes out with seed in his satchel and he scatters it all over his fields. The seed has four landing places, doesn't it? Jesus says that some seed falls along the path, the hard, dry, dusty, compact path. This was the trails that went along the fields that allowed travelers and the farmer to walk through it. When it falls on the path, it cannot penetrate the ground because it's so dry, and as a result, the birds scoop down and they swoop it up. They take the seed away. The second landing place, Jesus says, is on rocky ground. This rocky ground that has some soil on the surface level, but underneath is just rocks. As a result, the seed takes a wee bit of root, but it can't develop its roots, so its roots spring, instead of going downward, they go upward, they're scorched by the sun, and the seed does not grow. The third seed that Jesus speaks about there is the seed that is scattered among the thorns and the weeds. The seed, it goes into the soil, but it's soon choked out because the weeds and the thorns and the brambles are sucking the nutrients and the life from the soil and starving the seed from bearing fruit. And then the last soil that Jesus speaks about here in this parable is the fertile soil, the rich, the deep soil. When the seed goes into this soil, it takes root, it bears fruit. And notice that Jesus says in verse 8 that it produces grain, yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Now, farmers on average would have got 68-fold off their harvest back. That was a good harvest. That was the average harvest. But Jesus says here that the harvest that he's speaking about is 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. It's unbelievable. It's amazing what is the result of this harvest. That's the preacher's parable. So the popular preacher, the preacher's parable. Thirdly, I want you to notice the parable's purpose. The parable's purpose. You see, Jesus spoke in parables. But the question arises, why did he speak in parables? Well, he tells us here, look at verse 9. He says in verse 9, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Jesus says here that not everyone who hears the parables are going to understand them. Only certain people are going to understand the parable. Jesus is drawing a distinction here. He's saying that those who have been given spiritual ears by God to understand the parable will understand it. But everyone else, they will be left in darkness. They will not understand the meaning. When his 12 disciples, they get him alone, they want to know what the meaning of this parable is. And Jesus says in verse 11 of Mark 4, he says, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Jesus here says that there is a twofold purpose in why he teaches in parables. Firstly, he teaches in parables so that his people, those who have been given ears to hear by God himself, will understand the truth. He teaches in parables so that his people will understand the hidden heavenly meaning. He teaches in parables so the truth will be revealed. But the second reason he teaches in parables is so that the truth will be concealed from unbelievers. He says that in verse 11 there, he says, "For those on the outside," meaning unbelievers, "everything is in parables so that they will not understand." They will have ears to hear, physical ears to hear, but their hearts will not understand the word, receive the word, and delight in the word. And as a result, the truth is concealed from them. And the truth will lead to their judgment on the last day. It will lead to their hardness of heart. It will lead to them not coming because they cannot understand the truth. They will not come to God for forgiveness. And eventually they will perish in their sins. That's Jesus' twofold purpose. He speaks in parables so some will see the truth and others will be blinded to the truth. He speaks in parables so some will be blessed by the truth. His believers will hear and love the word. But he also speaks in parables so that others will be judged by the truth. So that they will see but not understand, and they will never be forgiven. They will go to the last day without excuse because they've heard so many sermons, so many parables, and yet they still do not believe. That's Jesus' parables. It's the purpose of the parables. So the popular preacher, the preacher's parable, the parable's purpose. But lastly, and I want to spend most of the time here because Jesus does, I want you to see the penetrating point. The penetrating point. Jesus tells us the meaning of this parable. He says in verse 14, if you look there with me, he says, "The sower sows the word." Jesus Christ is the sower. All his followers who share the word of God and administer it are the sower. And he says the seed is the word of God. It's the gospel. It's the Bible, it's the truth of Scripture. It's the meaning of salvation and life in Jesus. This is the word, this is the seed that is scattered abroad among the nations and among the peoples. But Jesus doesn't want us specifically to focus on the meaning of the sower and on the seed. Instead, he wants us to dwell upon the soil. You see, the soil represents four responses to the Word of God. It represents four responses to the Word of God. And the reason Jesus gives us this parable is so that we as believers, as we scatter the seed among the world, we will realize that God's Word will be met with different responses. But that also the reason Jesus gives this parable is for you tonight, as you hear the Word of God, to ask yourself, well, what soil am I? What is my response to the Word of God? What is my heart posture to the Word of God? See, there's four responses. The first response is the hard heart. It's the hard heart. It's represented by the path that Jesus speaks about. The seed falls on the path, this dry, this dusty, this compact path, and it does not penetrate the path. Instead, the birds come down and they take the seed away. This refers to the hard heart. These people are people who sit under sermon after sermon, talk after talk, lecture after lecture, reading after reading, and there is no impression upon their heart about the Word of God. It's like water on a duck's back. It hits and it falls straight off. It can't penetrate their heart. Their heart is so hard. So when they sit under the Word of God, they either rebel against it, they actively defy it, or they do not like it, or it just has no impression upon them. They come into church, they drive into church tonight, and they leave the same. They're not impacted in any way. That is the hard heart. Now, in the context here of Mark's gospel, the hard heart is represented by the religious leaders. If you were here last week, we noticed the religious leaders. They heard the Word of God. They sat under the teaching of Jesus. They witnessed the miracles of Jesus. They heard the claims and the declarations of Jesus. And yet they still did not believe. It bounced off their hearts. It reverberated backwards. And I wonder tonight, is that your response to the Word of God? Maybe you're a spouse who just comes to church to keep your wife happy or your husband happy. Maybe you're a teenager who comes to church week in, week out to keep your parents happy, but it's got no impact on your life. It has no impression on your life. In fact, you can't wait to the moment as a teenager to get free out of your family's house because you can't wait to not come to church. Well, if that is you tonight, your heart is hardened and that is not the right response to the Word of God. If your heart remains hardened, it will condemn you. That's the hard heart. But then Jesus speaks about the superficial heart. The superficial heart. This is represented by the seed that is sown on rocky ground. Remember the rocky ground? The rocks are underneath, but there's a layer of soil. There's a surface layer of soil on top. And this seed, it goes into the soil. It grows, but it takes no root, and then it eventually withers away. And Jesus says, well, this represents those who come to church, they hear the sermons, they hear the talks, and they're impressed, and they're overjoyed, and they receive the word, and there's emotions. That they are the people who respond to the word with singing and smiles. They are the people who hear the word, and they're overjoyed. They may even cry over their sin. They may even weep at the fact Jesus went to the cross and died a death for his people. They may even be convicted and have dread over hell and the terror of death and life after death. And yet Jesus says that because the seed doesn't take root in their heart, they eventually fall away. They fall away when trouble comes and when it refines them. You see, those who are associated with Jesus have persecution and trouble in this world. And that persecution and that trouble has a refining process. Persecution and trouble that comes to the true believer will drive that believer to Christ. But when persecution and trouble come to the false believer, it will drive them away from Christ. They will fall away. They were never truly saved. Their roots are exposed as folly and false. And I wonder again tonight, is that your response to the Word of God? You made a confession at a camp. You put your hand up at a meeting. You've maybe been baptized. You've declared publicly and emotively your allegiance to Christ. But it was only to impress others. It was only because it was convenient. It was only because it suited you. You saw the life that Christianity offers and you said, I want that life. But then when the trouble came and when the trials came and when the counting the cost came, you gave it up and you walked away. Sadly, in my life, and you will know it, that is the case with many people, isn't it? People you went to, you grew up in church with. People you served on teams with. They looked committed to Christ. They were emotional about Christ. In fact, they were the ones who had the most smiles on their face. They sat under the most sermons. They were intrigued. But now they are nowhere with God. Why? Because their profession was false. And when tribulation came, they walked away. It's the second response Jesus speaks about. The superficial heart. Is that your heart tonight? Shallow? No root? Well, if it is, then you will, if you continue like that, be condemned. It's not a true response to the Word of God. The hard heart, the superficial heart. Thirdly, Jesus speaks about the divided heart. The divided heart. This is represented, Jesus says, by the seed that fell on the weeds and the thorny ground. It starts to grow, but eventually it's choked out because it's starved from its nutrients and other things grow in its place. These people here are those who receive the word. And again, they're emotional about the reception of the word. Everything's external. On the outside, it looks like they're saved. And yet under the surface, they love other things. They're trying to serve two masters. But as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters. You either love the one and you hate the other. These people, they limp between two opinions. They love the world. Jesus says that they sooner or later their true colours are revealed. The cares of the world choke them out. Cares of the world refers to the priorities of the world. Priorities of the world. The searching for power and affluence and wealth and to be liked and popular in the world. These priorities eclipse Jesus Christ in their life. Or Jesus says the deceitfulness of riches. This chokes them out. They, yes, follow Jesus, but then they say Jesus doesn't offer me riches and fame, and therefore they desire these other things, and they leave Jesus behind because they love the things of the world. Or Jesus says the desire for other things, it's everything else that isn't Jesus. These things choke out the word of God in their heart. It exposes their life as folly and as foolish. The example in Scripture is Judas Iscariot, isn't it? Judas Iscariot, he was one of the 12 chosen by Jesus himself. Externally, he looked committed to Christ. Externally, he looked on the outside like he loved Christ. But all along, his heart loved himself. His heart loved the money. And eventually, he traded out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Or in Scripture, the other example is Demas. 2 Timothy 6. Demas was a missionary who served on the missionary team of Paul the Apostle. He preached the gospel. He saw people saved under his ministry. And yet Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4, he writes and says, Demas has forsaken me who loves the world. The divided heart is the worldly Christian. Those who are not truly saved, instead they love the things of the world. And I wonder, is that you tonight? Is that your response to the Word of God? You hold on to Jesus because it's convenient, but under the surface, you really love something else. Something else has your priority. Well, eventually, that will choke you out and reveal your true colours. Is that you? You see, the true believer will forsake the world for Christ, but the false believer forsakes Christ for the world. These are three responses, aren't they, to the Word of God? Responses that we see all the time, but responses that are wrong. If these are your responses tonight, they are not the true response. I want you to imagine tonight we go to hell. Tonight we go and we visit those in hell and we interview them and we say, well, who are you? Tell me a bit about yourself. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to see that in hell we go across and we see a youth leader. One who taught the youth at camp. One who led the praise at camp. One who organized the games at camp. And yet they were choked out because their heart was divided. Come again with me and we'll see in hell those who are baptized, those who profess Christ, those who preach the gospel from the pulpit, and yet they are in hell because their heart was superficial. They had no roots, and when trials and tribulations came, they forsook Christ. Come again and we'll see those who were emotionally affected by the gospel. They wept over their sin. They wept at the fact that Jesus Christ died innocently for his people. And yet they are in hell because they had a superficial heart. Come again with me. We sit under, we talk to people who sat under the ministry and the preaching of the greatest preachers that I have ever lived in the world. John Calvin, Charles Spurgeon, Martin Lloyd-Jones, even Jesus Christ, the King of Preachers himself. They sat under him. They witnessed his miracles. They saw his life, his declarations, and yet they are in hell. Why? Because their response was a false response. They had a hard heart or a superficial heart or a divided heart. So if that is your heart tonight, it's a wrong response to the Word of God. But what is the right response? Well, Jesus tells us, doesn't he? It's the good soil. It's the fruitful heart. Jesus says that the seed, falls on fertile soil that's been prepared. It takes root. It grows up and it brings about and yields a harvest. Here's the Word of God that comes to a true believer's heart. They hear the gospel. They see Christ, they forsake the world, they love Christ, and they bear fruit. Fruitfulness is the proof of the true response to God. What is fruitfulness? Well, it's love for God, it's love for his people, and it's also faith in Christ, trusting in him alone for your salvation. What makes the difference? Why does a fruitful heart respond and the other hearts don't? Well, God does. He prepares the heart. He comes by his Spirit and he changes lives. And I wonder tonight, is that your heart? Is that your response to the Word of God? A fruitful heart. Well, that is the only saving response. That is the only person tonight who is saved. Those who have heard the Word of God, those who have internalized the Word of God, and those who have been changed and from the inside out by the Word of God. Is that you tonight? If so, then you're saved. That's what Jesus says. If so, you have a place in heaven. If so, you're in the family of God. But if not, you're going to a lost eternity. And yet the good news of the gospel tonight is that your response can change. The good news of the gospel is that it doesn't matter what response you had coming in tonight, whether it was a divided heart, a superficial heart, or a hard heart. Tonight, your heart can be changed. You can be saved. You can be brought into the kingdom of God, and you can bear fruit. How? By crying out to God himself and asking him to give you a new heart. By crying out to God tonight, asking him to save you, to change you, and to transform you. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the right response. That's the penetrating point of this parable. What is your response to the Word of God? And therefore I'll close where I began. We all have heard many sermons. We've heard another one tonight. And yet, what is your response to the Word of God? What heart do you have tonight? Do you have a hard heart? Well, you'll be lost forever. Do you have a superficial heart? You're going to be lost forever. Do you have a divided heart? You're going to be lost forever. Or do you have a fruitful heart? The heart that has been given by God. If so, then you're in God's kingdom and you are saved. Afterwards, I'm going to be at the last week, as I said, just at the gate on the way out. If you want to speak to me, please make time to speak to me, because that is the most important question tonight. What is your response to the Word of God? Let's pray once again. Father, we thank you just for your word and for the challenge of it. And we pray, Lord, now that as we get ready to finish up and to go home, we pray, O God, that you will help us to even examine our hearts to see if we have that true, that fruitful heart. But if not, Lord, we pray that you will bring us to yourself. We thank you that you are the God of the author of salvation. We thank you, Lord, that all who come to you, you by no means cast out. And we pray, O God, tonight that you will draw people to yourself for salvation. Bless us all, Lord. Help us to respond rightly to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.